They who explain me shall have life everlasting, which taken from divine wisdom, placed in the mouth of our Blessed Lady, in this holy mass of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a great joy to be with all of you once again, now for my 7th novena to the Immaculate Conception here at St. Mary's. St. Mary's is now tied with the seminary. And indeed, the memories I formed here and observing in so many beautiful details the spirit of the Institute of Christ the King now in many ways looms larger than my experience at seminary so long ago. This afternoon, before coming to church, I couldn't resist having a peek online at the website for the Basilica of the Holy Apostles in Rome. It had been a very long time since I had looked into what they are doing there, and I was a little bit curious, wanted to make sure they were still doing things there just as our superiors told us they always did. Indeed, that is the case. I almost thought for a moment that perhaps they had copied our publicity here at St. Mary's in order to advertise their novena to the Immaculate Conception. I dare not suppose that they could have paid us such a compliment, for though the internet and other means of advertising are very new, this novena is very old. Even if we have been observing it here at St. Mary's now for many years, it cannot compare to the many centuries that it has been observed at that holy basilica. Some of you have heard these details before, but I doubt anyone knows them by heart, and so they bear repeating. First of all, tonight we observe a practice which is as old as Holy Mother Church. From the moment when our Blessed Savior ascended above the highest heavens to take his place at the right hand of the Father, the Church has always prayed novenas. In the liturgy, there are two official novenas. The first is, of course, the original, to which I just referred. The 9 days of prayer between the ascension of our Lord and the descent of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. We were told during that time the apostles were gathered together with our Blessed Lady in prayer, expecting the coming of the promise of the Father. There is another observance which can be called a novena in the liturgy. We will come upon it very soon. It begins on December 17th and goes until Christmas. It is the 9 days starting on that day and ending on the feast itself, on Christmas. And this novena is a bit different from the one leading to Pentecost, for it ends on the feast itself. It does not conclude the day before. During that time, we sing the O Antiphons, the great antiphons, which form, in English, the hymn we know as O Come Emmanuel. And as divine providence would have it, this day, formerly known in the liturgy as the Vigil of St. Andrew, first called among the fishers of men, is the beginning of the novena to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. During this past year, we have been looking back. We finished commemorating a rather grim fifth centenary, that is, the centenary of the Protestant Revolt in 1517. Tonight we hearken back 600 years to 1417 and the end of what was known as the Western Schism, that terrible century during which Europe was plunged into chaos because the Pope first left Rome to live in Avignon in France, and then we saw two and even three claimants to the papal throne at the same time. The faith was laid low throughout Europe. But in 1417, finally all claimants agreed to step aside so that a proper pope could be elected. This was Martin V. Martin V undertook then the restoration of the faith throughout Europe and the restoration of Christian Rome. He ordered the restoration of the ancient Roman Basilica of the Holy Apostles, which had existed since the 4th century, but had been destroyed by an earthquake a generation earlier. Later that century, in 1474, the basilica was entrusted to the care of the conventual Franciscans. Only 2 years later, the feast of the Conception of Mary, on December 8th, was extended to the Universal Church. The Franciscans, glorious defenders of the privilege of the Immaculate Conception since the Scholastic Age, were already celebrating this feast. And when they came into possession of the glorious Basilica of the Holy Apostles, they resolved to prepare for the celebration of that feast with a solemn novena. It seems that from the early 18th century, the custom has been for a cardinal or another Roman prelate to come each night of the novena to preach and celebrate Mass and all of the novena devotions. And so this very evening in Rome, the novena began precisely in that way. We have no cardinals among us this week, but we are very grateful for all the preachers who will be coming here to St. Mary's to proclaim the glory of our Immaculate Queen, remembering that admonition which we hear from her in today's Mass: "They who explain me shall have life everlasting." And it is under this promise that we understand the importance of the theme for the novena this year, the doctrine of Holy Mother Church concerning the Blessed Virgin Mary. When we look back to that time of the founding of that church in Rome in the 4th century, we look back, in fact, to the very beginning of that dogmatic teaching concerning the Blessed Virgin. For it was at that time that she was proclaimed by the Church to be aipartenos, ever virgin. And not long after, at the Council of Ephesus, Theotokos, Mother of God. And tonight we share something very beautiful with that time. We share it with the solemn novena as it was celebrated tonight in Rome, as it was celebrated in Gricigliano and in other houses of the Institute. The beautiful feature of this novena, which is drawn from the Church's ancient treasures, a 4th century hymn set later on by the Franciscans to a beautiful tone, a hymn which in its words is as old as that very Roman basilica, the hymn Tota Pocra Est. Thou art all fair, O Mary, thou art all fair, and the stain is not in thee. Yes, even before Ephesus proclaimed Mary to be the Mother of God, Christians were already singing out her praises by declaring in the words of the canticle, Thou art all fair, and the original stain is not in thee. This is the novena which the superiors of the Institute, Monsignor Bach and Canon Mora, knew when they were studying in Rome, and this is the tradition they were intent on bringing to the community they founded, the Institute of Christ the King. Let us all then pray for an increase of the virtue of faith and make that sovereign act of faith which comes from humbly and attentively listening to what is preached to us throughout this novena. For we understand that in explaining the doctrines concerning Mary, we explain the doctrines of the Incarnation and the glories of the Blessed Trinity. For St. Augustine says, with all the saints, in crowning their virtue, God simply crowns his own graces. And so in explaining the doctrine concerning Mary, her perpetual virginity, her divine maternity, her immaculate conception, her assumption, and her role in the economy of grace, we proclaim simply as she did so long ago in her Magnificat, the greatness of the Lord. And in proclaiming all the things that the Mighty One has done to her, we sound forth his praises, the praises of her incarnate Son, to his eternal honor and glory. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.